Yeah, David?
Do you want to go back?
Back where?
Back to the best.
Back to the best?
Back to the best. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of
Back to the best.
I'm David.
And I'm Grace, and this is our podcast where we talk about all the best things from the 90s to the 2000s, which is also known as
The Best Times. To all, every single one of our first-time listeners,
Welcome
to every single one of our former besties returning.
Welcome back to every single one of you. We appreciate your single awareness of our episode every single day.
If we could look every single one of you in the eyes and just say,
thanks.
We would. Come to our... I wish celebrities still did like mall concerts and meet and greets. Remember that time?
Oh, yes. I saw Ashley Tisdale at my local mall growing up.
Yeah, I forgot that.
I remember because I'm from a small town. So is David. Mm-hmm. Celebrities don't visit.
No.
They don't come to your town.
No. Little did you know one day you'd see her trick-or-treating.
Seen her trick-or-treating. I've seen her riding a bike. She's pregnant again.
Speaking of pregnant, did you see Hillary's post the other night that she was done answering anyone who asked her if she's had the baby yet?
Guys, she would have told us.
As moms.
As moms. I just would have felt it, you know? Like, as moms, we would have known. I guess I get that. I mean, it's hard, though, because she is a public figure.
We get it.
We get it. We just want to know when she's having the baby, what the baby's name is. I love baby names. I think after having a baby, I feel that way. It's so fun. So I can't wait to see.
What was Riley's backup name? You knew she was a girl, but did you have a boy name ready?
We have a whole list. We really like, Tim likes the name Jackson for a boy.
Like, I feel like you can't go wrong.
Yeah, Jackson Avery. Duh. I don't know. I think we took a very long time to even get her name. So we were never set on anything. Like, a friend of mine said he already knows what his future kid's going to be named. Some people really know the name.
Yeah.
It wasn't us.
That's fine.
We had to, like, say a lot of names out loud. Because you need to, it needs to, like, feel good saying it.
You could still change it.
Oh my God, yeah.
1 year in.
1 year in, we're just going to, hey, what if she had a new name every year? Ooh, it'd be very confusing. Oh. Wouldn't be fun. She doesn't like it.
She's sitting right here in case anyone couldn't hear.
What David and I have talked about it. We're going to figure out how to get our setup so that we are filmed while recording our podcasts because there's just more going on, more fun. Like, David mixed up the intro and put a little hand up and had a different gesture. Totally threw me off, but I loved it.
So. But in the world of podcasting, though, seeing isn't everything, you know.
Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. It's from the Santa Claus.
Anyway, happy Taylor Swift release week to you and yours.
Oh my gosh. Oh, what a week.
A double album.
I do have questions.
Great.
The Kim Kardashian thing.
Thank you, Amy.
I'm confused because you know me. I haven't quite listened to every song yet. You know, sure. I take my time. It's like, it's my process.
Especially with 31 new songs.
So it's obviously, it's Kim.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I don't know how it could be more obvious.
What is the Amy? What did she do? Can you explain it? No, like, what did Taylor do?
To let everyone know that Amy is Kim?
Yeah.
The title of the song. Thank you, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
All lowercase except the letters K-I-M.
Oh, I get it. Oh, it's perfect. Okay. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm here for it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here for it. I mean, she can do whatever the heck she wants.
I'm surprised that she did this in the Tortured Poets department and didn't wait to release more Kim songs with the Reputation vault tracks.
Same. I felt the exact same way. And to say that you took the words out of my mouth.
And what was your favorite song on the album?
On the new one?
Yeah.
This on the vault. The tortured poets. The one about the tortured bird that she's just felt so tortured about. And then Amy. Amy. Yes. Definitely Amy. But song number 5. I really liked the 5th one on the track.
What's like your favorite lyric?
Oh, from it? It's gotta be I'm so tortured like a poet. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Because I think it just speaks to the name of the album, you know?
Even Riley's looking at you.
I just think it's like, it just speaks to like why she named the album what she named it, you know?
Well, also like the second track is called The Tortured
the
Poets
The Tortured
Department.
Poets Department. Yeah, right. So, and number two, I love as well.
So mm-hmm. when you listen to it, you heard her say it mm-hmm. in two and five.
In two and five. Yeah. Yeah. Just whatever order you want. I did. They're my, we can't pick favorites, right? They're my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
I mean, it's so hard to choose.
So hard. I bet I know what you're going to say on three. One, two, three.
I can do it with a broken heart.
I knew you'd love that one. I heard that when I listened to I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, I said, David is going to love this. I really do want to listen. Because is it being received well?
I keep seeing mixed things, but I feel like every time she releases an album, it's mixed at first, and then everyone mm-hmm. accepts and loves and supports.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so there's two of them?
So.
Yeah, break it down, because for people like me that might not be in the know, what is it?
So at the Grammys back in February.
Mm-hmm. It's a big award show.
She won an award, and mm-hmm. then she announced the Tortured Poets Department album coming out April 18th.
Mm-hmm.
April 19th, sorry.
Oh my God. It's okay.
April 19th?
It's okay. I think I threw you off.
But I can't remember what she said when she did it, but she like held up a peace sign at the Grammys.
For two.
And then later on, people realized that there was like some kind of clock that was at the 2 o'clock. And then she did this thing at the Grove, which was like a little pop-up, and there were like song lyrics on it. Mm-hmm. And there was a peace sign. And everything was set to two. So everyone was just like, what does this number two mean?
Okay.
And
it meant that
there was a mm-hmm. second album coming the same night as the first one.
I love that she does that stuff.
And then I was like, because as soon as the album came out, I went to Instagram to see what Taylor's post is. And then I just pulled down to refresh. And like, usually I see something posted on Twitter and then I know to go look. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time I experienced it where I didn't know it was coming. And I was like, I went to refresh and then it just kept pulling down. And there was a 2 hour countdown.
Of course, at 2 hours.
Of course.
Two.
And so then a little bit before it was announced, I was looking on Twitter and someone commented or posted on Twitter and said some of the song lyrics at the Grove pop-up were not in the original album. And Taylor Nation retweeted it with like a bunch of like question marks. And then a brand new album.
Okay. So did they come out one after? It was a 2 hour difference between the two of them coming out?
Yeah.
And you had no idea, but people knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, I don't know. A lot of times her countdown is just to merch. So I didn't want to get my hopes up.
But you thought maybe like merch, a t-shirt.
Maybe.
It obviously wasn't going to be a tour. Like she just did
She's
that.
She's already on it.
She's already on it. She's still on it?
Oh, we're only like halfway.
Oh my God. She's got to be exhausted.
She's got to do all of Europe.
What a life. I mean,
she
imagine
comes back here
that.
Too.
Imagine that. Oh my God. What a life.
I mean, when we go on our Back to the Best world tour.
We will do the same thing times two. No, I think it is so cool that she drops those hints and those Easter eggs about her albums. And I wish I was...
Should we start?
We just put the peace sign.
We just copy.
We copy everything that she does. No, it's clever. And I think, like, as for her fans, it's just got to be so fun
mm-hmm.
to read into everything that she does and try to figure it out.
It's a lot. There is one song on there, though, like hating on the crazy fans.
Oh, really?
The ones who like got mad about her relationship with Matty Healy.
Oh, I mean, she's over it.
Over it.
She's over it. She has
we're
been
in our 30s.
Oh, my God.
And we're
done.
Over it.
We're done. We're done. Done. Did Kim say anything?
No. There's some source saying mm-hmm. that Kim's like just wants her to move on, that she's over it. But who knows who the source is? Who knows if that's true?
We'll probably have to wait until the next season of The Kardashians comes out.
I know. I wonder if they were filming.
You know that they figured something out. Either if it was on an iPhone or whatever. Mm-hmm. Someone had to get something.
Because there's a lyric in the song that says, one day your daughter will come home from school singing a song that only you and I know is about you, basically.
Yikes. Not the kids.
The kids.
The kids. Oh my God. She's talking about the kids. Oh my God. So like, obviously she means that song.
It's gotta be right.
Except oh my God.
It's not just them two that know about it. We all know.
We all know. Wow. What a feud.
And I feel like we should address something. This episode isn't very nostalgic. So I think we need to talk about something nostalgic right now.
Okay.
And that is, I was scrolling on Instagram last night. There's a Seventh Heaven Rewatch podcast coming out.
Who's hosting it?
Simon, Ruthie, and Lucy.
Love it. I mean, they just reunited along with Annie and Matt. They were all together. Oh my gosh. All I want is the theme song to be in every single episode of the rewatch.
I commented OMG from us, and Beverly Mitchell liked our comment.
Okay, we need to find some way to do a collab.
Beverly.
Beverly, we would love to do a collab. We love Seventh Heaven. Hey, if anyone wants to go to our YouTube channel, we went to the house.
And the church.
And the church. The house and the church. Very big sets from the show.
Yes. I mean,
the house and the church. Sets. Yeah, the most iconic. Is Jessica Biel going to go on, do you think?
I don't know, because she wasn't part of the reunion. She was a huge, it was a big part of her career.
Oh my God, Mary.
Mary.
Mary, what the heck?
Remember when she left and then came back? And
yes,
then
they remember all when she twins? Was blonde?
Oh. Oh, and when she gets hit by the car.
Oh, my God.
She just stands in the street staring at that car coming right at her.
Stairs. They've got to have her on for that episode.
She gets crutches.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for this rewatch podcast. I'm genuinely so excited. I was looking. What streaming service? Seventh Heaven is on a streaming service. I forget which one.
Maybe Hulu?
It's either Hulu, could be Amazon. But it's there. Like, I didn't even realize that they had the seasons on there. But you could go back and watch it.
I think I have the first season on DVD.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, Seventh Heaven. When I see that. What was the dog's name? Happy?
Happy. Always at the end of the credits. Happy is happy.
Happy is happy. Oh, my God. I cannot wait.
And you know what makes us happy?
The Traitors. Which is not a lie. We love the Traitors. And like David said, listen, we're aware that this isn't the most nostalgic of episodes you've ever listened to on Back to the Best.
If you came for the nostalgia, this might not be for you.
It might not.
But if you came for the fun,
this is for you. Nice. David and I are huge fans of the show The Traitors. You've all probably heard of it. They have it in other countries. Mm-hmm. There's only been two seasons here in the U.S.
Yes, but it is renewed for a third.
Yes. It's an incredibly popular show. We would describe it as, it's like the game Mafia, if anyone ever played that.
Werewolf.
Yeah, or Werewolf. It is a reality show where people are brought on and they're all blindfolded and sometimes four, the number changes sometimes. People are picked as traitors. Mm-hmm. And the other are faithful. They have to try to figure out who the traitors are. Go watch it if you haven't seen it. But we had Bergie on.
Yes.
Bergalicious himself. If you watch this past season, you will know that his nickname is Bergalicious.
Yeah. And if you didn't watch The Traitors, maybe you watched Love Island. He was on the last season of Love Island. Fan favorite.
Oh my God, a fan favorite. And it's obvious to me why.
Oh my God. I mean, I had never watched Love Island until this past season. And immediately he was my favorite that I was rooting for the entire show. Same with Traitors.
So if you love the Traitors, if you love Love Island, keep listening because you're going to love our episode with Bergie.
Let's get into it. Here is our chat all about the Traitors with Bergie.
Bergalicious.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Thanks for waiting for me for a little bit.
I'm David. This is Grace. It's so nice to meet you.
Hi, David and Grace.
Hi. Nice to meet you. So can we just ask, do you want to go by Karsten or do you want to go by Bergie?
Let's go by Bergie because I think people understand that.
Okay.
Okay.
Because if you say we had Karsten on the podcast, people are going to be like, who the hell is Karsten?
Who is Karsten?
I guess that's true. If you go on a TV show and you just declare a name, you probably have to hang with it for a bit.
Yeah. So that was my thing. We could probably talk about this podcast too. Because when I did Love Island, they're like, on the application, they said, do you have any nicknames? And I put Bergie. Like, just a couple of my college friends were calling me Bergie. And then when I applied to Love Island, they're like, Bergie's going to catch on. You should really go as Bergie instead of Karsten. And we want to put like Bergie on your water bottle. I was like, fine, I'll go by Bergie. And I was like, that'll be the only show I'll go by Bergie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and then Traitors happened immediately after. And I was like, you know what? Like, this will be the last show I'm being called Bergie. Mm-hmm. And then like the Bergalicious happened. And I'm stuck with Bergie the rest of my TV career.
This is it.
And social media career. I'm stuck.
Oh, it's taken on a life of its own.
I can never go back to Carson at this point.
Yeah.
No. You are Bergie for the rest of your life. That's it.
The rest of my life.
Well, thank you again so much for doing this. Our podcast is called Back to the Best. We focus on like nostalgic things that we loved growing up, but every year we always sneak in like one or two reality show episodes just because we're both big reality TV fans. We're so excited that you're here.
Out of the two reality TV stars that you're gonna get, I'm glad I'm one of them.
Oh my god, The Traitors is one of the, I think it's one of the best shows, because I had played, so like with my cousins, we had played the game Mafia, which I'm sure everyone's heard of, and I know that it's really similar. It's basically it.
Yeah, besides the recruitments, which I hate. That's the only thing they need to fix on the TV show. I don't know how they're going to fix it, because it's going to turn into a game of Survivor. Because I think after this year, everyone realized, because Peter and I didn't realize, we thought season one, it was a twist when they did the recruitment. It was just like a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if banishing the traitors, they get to keep recruiting until the end of this series. And Sandra watched, you know, all of them. She had the time to watch all of them before she came. So she knew that. We didn't know that. So she was playing like Survivor. Like, we just need to banish a ton of faithfuls and then at the end get rid of it. So that's what's going to end up happening to this game, I think, if they don't figure out a way to fix it. It's going to banish, oh, who do we like the least? Like, let's banish that person. Not because they're a traitor or a faithful, just because you have to numbers to make it to the end.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm already...
It's going to turn.
Yes. Well, we love this. We want to know everything, but let's just start. When this first came across your plate, when you first heard about this, what was your reaction? Because from watching the show in the beginning, you did kind of admit your nerves were there. You were a little bit like, where am I? What am I doing? Outside looking in, oh my God, the stress, being a traitor, of course, but even being a faithful, just being accused all the time and kind of feeling on edge a lot. Did you like go in kind of worried that you would feel that way a lot? Or were you just excited for that experience?
Oh my gosh. So when they first came across, it's like, oh, that's perfect. Everybody will know I'm a faithful. So let's go back.
Everyone will know.
Yeah. I think when I got asked, it was back when I was still doing Love Island. I've just finished Love Island. We finished the finale. And then we went back to the hotel that night. The next day you go meet with the executive producers of Love Island and say, thank you for having me. And they thank you for being a part of the show. And after that, that's when I met with an NBC exec, and I'm going, why am I meeting with an NBC exec? And they asked me, like, hey, in 2 weeks, would you like to go to Scotland and do The Traitors?
Two weeks?
I was like, I have no idea. Yeah, 2 weeks. So I just left my family for probably 3 months or 2.5 months, and they're just asking me to go do another show immediately after doing my first show ever. And I was like, I didn't give them a yes or a no, because I'm like, I feel like I'm going to say yes to this. That's what I told them. But I don't know if I'm going to say no either, because I haven't seen the show. I don't know what my life looks back home. I don't know what my life looks like right now, because I still didn't have my phone back from doing Love Island. So I didn't know I had, you know, 30,000 Instagram followers or whatever. Like, I didn't know how much my life was going to change. So I was just like, let me go back home. Let me figure some things out, and I'll give you an answer in a week. And like, that's only 1 week before the show starts. Because I don't think they had me as like a confirmed contestant, but they were looking for another guy, because there's already a lot of women in the cast. So they were looking for another guy. So I was like, let me go home. So then I went home. They then called me back, and I talked to my parents. I talked to some of my family members. I was like, yep, I'm going to do it. And then I started watching the show, and I only had 1 week. So I finished season one, had to go do a Zara haul with my girlfriend. We like got all the clothes together to go to Scotland. And then they had like a wardrobe stylist there. So like everything that we shopped for really didn't matter. Oh, no. Like, they dressed me every day. So coming back home too, when I finished Traitors, like, my suitcase, I was sitting on it because I wanted to bring all the cool clothes I got from Scotland back home too. But yeah, so that was my thing going in. So I only watched Traitors US season one to prepare. And then talking about the nerves, so we did an interview before, because they obviously interviewed me to make sure they wanted me for the show too, in between those 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they asked me, would I rather be a traitor or a faithful? And in that interview, I said I'd rather be a traitor because nobody would suspect it. Everybody would think nice guy and I could get away with it. And then I got to the show and was like, holy shit, I do not want to be a traitor. I don't think I can pull stuff. Knowing how long I've been lying to people, and like, I'm going to slip up, or I'm going to say someone else is a traitor. And I just didn't want that on me for the first time. And then also when I was home for that 2 week period after Love Island, I saw a lot of people saying Bergie's dumb, Bergie's this, Bergie's, you know, this odd guy. And you know, it kind of ate me up on the inside. It was like, I want to prove all these people on Reddit or Twitter or wherever else that like, hate was coming from that I can prove them wrong. Because then also right before I flew to Scotland, the cast got leaked. So I looked at the cast, obviously.
Sure.
And I didn't really care about other castmates. I was looking at what people were saying about me. And people were saying like, oh, he's such a miscast. He's going to be manipulated all the way to the end. And he's going to get the money stolen from him. Like people were saying all this stuff. And I was like, you know what? I want to prove all these people wrong. So like that was my mindset. So I was like, please let me be a faithful. And when I was saying like, I don't want to be manipulated, I wasn't saying that for the cast around me. I was saying that to like the audience. Like that was my thing with that. I was like, I'm going to prove to you guys and to myself that I'm not this manipulative person that everybody thinks I am.
Well, I think you definitely proved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you and Peter, the Peter pals, were just crushing it.
We were crushing it. And like the thing was, looking back on it, I'm like, that was a terrible strategy. Cause it like, you, if you prove you can't be like manipulated or like you're going to go for the traitors, like you're going to get murdered. So
you're
like,
a threat.
Terrible strategy if you want to win. But if you want to like make a point, it's a great strategy, I guess, if that's what you want to do.
And I think watching that graveyard competition was one of the most satisfying things because we both watched Love Island. We loved you on that show. So we were so excited whenever you were going to be on the traitors. And watching you just take charge in that competition was just so satisfying to see them all like realize like, oh yeah, Bergie is here to play. He's here to win. He's a great competitor.
Yeah. And like, I have the college football background. I have competing background. Like I did bodybuilding. I've done all these competitions. So anything physical, I'm super great at. Like, I think people mistake my like flirting with girls because I had no knowledge about it. But like when it comes to like competitions, I have full knowledge. I can realize patterns. I can do all this other stuff. But people mistake me flirting with girls as a weakness for competing in Traitors. I think it was a big thing.
It was so smart. I mean, because even in other seasons of the Traitors, no one's ever caught on to the pattern like you did that I've seen because they do some of the same things and they just... No one has ever, maybe they were just hadn't aired yet so they could copy off of you, to be honest, but nobody got it on their own, it seemed.
Yeah. The thing that kept happening too, when we were doing that challenge, it was like, I was in that first group and we were going to be the guinea pigs. And like the second group was going to be the group that came in and just crushed the challenge. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to avoid the lights, watch them. And then someone would get out, the lights would reset and do the same exact pattern. And I still have the pattern memorized to today because it's like the one on the left here went right to left. And this one was going front to back. And then this one would go to the middle. This one would go to the middle. And then like they would both go back. And that was your time to get into the mausoleum. Mm-hmm. And it was so bad because I got the pattern down maybe after the fifth person went out. And I think at that time we still had like 19, 20 people. No, we were down to 18 people, but still we got down to the last person. And I was screaming at everybody, guys, listen to me. I was ready to grab like the whole battering ram, run at the door by myself and just do it.
Just chuck it at the door.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, so like the pattern happens, like that's maybe like 30 seconds. And people were getting out before like you could even get to the mausoleum. It was just like, I'm going to have to do this challenge on my own.
Oh my God.
Just all you?
Just all me.
And from the time that you guys were first starting out, were there people that you thought early on were traitors? Like what was your gut feeling meeting these people? Who were the first ones that you thought, I think that this person's probably a traitor?
Well, I wrote everything down so I wouldn't forget. So I'm going to bring it out.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
My suspects were Janelle, Marcus, John, Peppermint, Johnny, Max, Dan, Ekansu, and Sandra. Those are the people like pre-selection. Like I got to the castle. I got like they gave us like, oh, I'll grab that too real quick if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
So give us something that like this. You get the cast list. So I'm going to go back to my journal. I know I'm like looking at all this stuff, but it's like good for a refresher too.
Oh yeah.
So those were like my pre-selection who I thought were traitors. Like before they even got their shoulder tapped, those were like the people on the cast that I thought were going to be selected as traitors.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it became, I always thought Sandra for whatever reason, this is after the selection, I thought Parvati was a traitor because you know how Larsa said I heard the shoulder tap? Mm-hmm. I also heard Alan shoulder and touch somebody. And I thought it was Johnny Bananas because he was left. Mm. But you know who was next to Johnny Bananas? It was Phaedra. Phaedra was sitting right next to
Johnny. So oh my God.
Shoulder tap. Because I heard him tap a shoulder, and Larsa said it too, and I was like, I'm pretty sure he tapped Johnny Banana's shoulder, but it was actually Phaser who was sitting right next to him. And then, like, obviously the theory was cooked right when Johnny Banana's got murdered, but mm-hmm, I was like,
sure.
And I told CT that right away. I'm like, I think Alan tapped Johnny Bananas, and then he got murdered. So I was like, oh, nope, I was
just wasn't him.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. And then who else? I thought Marcus would be. I thought it had to be Marcus Martha for a long time because I was like, that's perfect TV. Like, have the other person be the traitor and the other person be the faithful and just lie to them the whole time and see if they can pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Marcus got murdered. That was like part of my reason for voting for Larsa. But once we got to the round table and she started talking, I'm like, she's not a traitor. But I still had to vote for her because she was going after CT. I'm like, CT's not a traitor either.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep throwing out these wild theories. Pretty soon it's going to be me if you keep throwing out these crazy theories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always thought John because of the breathing thing. Janelle, Ekansu, Deontay, and Dan. Like after that.
Yeah, Dan was one that he was so impressive on his seasons of Big Brother. And he was known for just... honestly, his like iconic moment, he completely backstabbed one of his closest people, you know? So like how he tried to do in that final moment with Phaedra, he just kind of put it all out on the line. Was that the first time that anyone really thought about Phaedra, or people just still thought it was just Dan trying to do anything he could, pulling at straws?
Well, someone saw Phaedra when they shouldn't have. So that was already out there.
Okay.
So I heard about it and I didn't believe them when they saw Phaedra when they shouldn't have. And I was like, no, Phaedra's not a traitor. And then Dan said Phaedra's a traitor. And I was like, okay, Phaedra's a traitor. And I really wanted to vote for Phaedra that night. But I was thinking long term, it was like, if I vote, I just got murdered technically because I had the shield.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I vote Phaedra, now Dan's going to get voted out. If I vote Phaedra, I'm going to show everybody I think it's Phaedra, but I'm going to get murdered. Like right away, because I'm going after Phaedra and she's a traitor.
Oh my God. That's got to be so hard because watching it at home, you're like, just vote them out. You guys know it's the traitor, but then you're playing the game and you want to try to make it through. And often when people vote against the group, they become a suspect. They get looked at.
One of the reasons I thought Sandra was a traitor for the longest time, like all the way until I was gone, I'm like, Sandra's still a traitor, was when she, like, I was going to vote with Larsa and MJ. I was the one telling them, I think it's Dan. And we were going to vote Dan out. And then Sandra goes, I think it's Max, out of nowhere. And I'm like, Max? And everybody's like, it's Max. And I'm like, okay, it's Max. You know, I don't know what else to do. I'm not going to go after Dan.
Yeah.
And the other thing too, Dan's not a traitor. And I'm like, I'm not going to argue with Deontay at this round table. I'm
pick your battles.
So I'm going to pick my battle. So I was like, you know what? Let's just vote Max out tonight. And I was like, Sandra's a traitor and she was just protecting Dan. That's what I thought. And I was completely wrong. But that was my thought.
Well, especially I feel like those early round tables when you actually just have like not much at all to go on. The second one person would say something, I'd be like, oh, yeah, of course, that makes sense. Let's vote him out. Like nothing else to really know.
As long as it's not you.
Yes.
And I think that the game's going to turn into, as long as it's not me, I'm voting this person out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's survival.
It's going to be survival.
Would you have said yes if you got that letter trying to recruit you to be a traitor?
When Peter got it or when Kate got it?
When Peter got it.
When Peter got it, I don't think so, because I felt like we had such an upper hand on the traitors at that point. Like, we knew it was Parvati. Dan just said Phaedra, and someone saw, I'm not going to say who saw Phaedra when they shouldn't have, but someone saw they shouldn't have. And that just told me, like, we know two out of the three left traitors. I think the faithfuls have a good shot at winning this. Mm-hmm. Before we knew, recruit and recruit and recruit and recruit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Just keep going.
I mean, I guess I always think maybe they do that because obviously, like, you guys were really good. You were going to find all the traitors, and they want to keep traitors in the game. But then there's also that chance that the, like, maybe on the final episode that everyone looks around and they're like, we could all be faithfuls. Like, that isn't. There is a possibility of that, but then they keep recruiting. So it's almost like they don't ever want that to happen. They always want a traitor in the game.
Yeah. Well, and I like, you can't, what happens if you get all the traitors out by episode 7? Like, then, yeah. You know,
it's like, we're done.
Yeah.
We have all these challenges set up. We've paid millions of dollars for these challenges. We're not going to do them.
Yeah. Like, just do them for fun.
Just for fun.
Just do them for fun. And then do a roundtable, banish your least favorite faithful.
Honestly, it just
honestly, people I feel like would be into that. the cutthroat.
Well, I think what would be a mass hysteria, traitors, is like there's no traitors. It's just Alan murdering one person a night, and the people are trying to figure it out, and they can't get a one right, and they're going crazy. Like, who the hell is a traitor? Who's lying to me?
Oh my god, the paranoia would just grow and grow and grow.
Yeah, the paranoia would be insane. Not ever getting a traitor out, and you're like down to the final three, and there's not actually a traitor. What?
Oh my god, that would feel awful.
Speaking of Alan, he's such an incredible host. Was he just always in that character anytime you would see him, or would you ever get to see him like just be just Alan?
Just Alan, yeah.
yeah, a couple times. He'd like walk in the castle with Lulu. Like when we were transitioning from breakfast to the challenge, or the challenge to roundtable, like you'd see Alan walk by, and he's like the nicest guy ever. And Lulu, like, I think his dog's name is Lulu. I might be wrong, but both of them are amazing.
Oh,
so for like a typical day, how long were they? How long were you guys like doing everything for the show?
Yeah, so I could easily wake up. I think my call time sometimes was like 7:30, 7:45, and then wake up, and then we're going to breakfast. And then there would be times where we'd go to bed at 2 a.m. So I have no idea how long the traitors were up till. Like, they probably had to film for, so we're working, you know, from seven, like, pretty much you wake up 7:30, you're getting dressed, ready for the day. So like the traders, it's like they're only getting 4 to 5 hours of sleep, 3 hours of sleep, and we're getting like 5 to 6. So it's like you think you're going crazy, but the traders are even like, I just got 3 to 4 hours of sleep last night. And you think you're going crazy as a faithful. You're like, the traders have to be super tired. So like when people walk into breakfast, they try to be energetic, like, hey, I got so much sleep last night, because like, you know, the traitors got less than you.
Oh my god, I couldn't be a traitor. I'd be exhausted.
Yeah, and then we obviously, another thing that we're always looking at is like, who are the last two to breakfast? Like, is it, you know, because like maybe they're faithful then and they were almost murdered. Like, so if you're last to breakfast, you know, like I almost got last night. If you're faithful. But I was watching the show this year, and they definitely put in Parvati in the last like group of people. They put in, like, they changed it up. So like, I don't think that will ever be used, but like if you're faithful and you're last to breakfast, then you can be like, oh my gosh, I was almost murdered last night, I need a shield today.
Yeah.
Also, was that breakfast also, as good as it looks?
Oh my god, it looked delicious.
I think it was sitting there for filming breakfast.
It was cold.
So it's definitely like, oh, like the pastries, the donuts are all good. Maybe the hard eggs, but like I don't know if I'd be eating. Oh, I mean, salmon's good too. Like, you can have salmon cold. I think it was just as good as you saw it. I think it could be eaten cold. So it wasn't like, you know, the bread wasn't stale or anything like that either. So it was a good breakfast still.
That's good.
Everything always looks better on TV.
That's true.
Yeah. I used to work at Dairy Queen. So I know, like, you know, sometimes it's not ice cream in the advertisement either. It's like mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The breakfast was actual breakfast. It wasn't like anything fake to make it.
And we also have to talk about the shield plan with Peter, because it was incredible. It was so smart. You guys obviously pulled it off perfectly. And speaking of breakfast, when you walked into breakfast and you're alive and you guys are like, okay, I'm here, did you think that the rest of the game would be easier for the Peter pals now that you kind of discovered strategies and could kind of more defiantly like catch the traitors? Or what was your feeling when you saw that your plan had worked?
I was so in shock that the traitors actually wanted to murder me. Like, I was so vocal. They didn't show it. Like, obviously they showed the first time I said, like, your name is on my chalkboard, but I thought that was such a fun thing to say. Like, I literally followed Dan around the castle that night. And I screamed at him. Like, he walked by me in the hallway going to like the kitchen or the billiards room. And I remember I was just like standing by that knight. I don't know if I can describe it real well, but like I was standing next to that knight and he walks by and I literally screamed down the hallway, your name is still on my chalkboard. Like, I was coming after him. And he needs to murder Bergie. He needs to murder Bergie after him. But I thought, this is me thinking as like my gamer brain. I was like, I'm pretty sure the other traders are so done with Dan. I thought Parvati was like, screw it, let's murder Bergie. Dan, you're gonna have to fight for yourself. And I thought that was Parvati's way of throwing Dan under the bus. Like, I thought Parvati was just like throwing Dan under the bus and she was gonna come after Dan at the round table tomorrow. only to find out while I'm watching the show that didn't happen at all. Dan was the one that still murdered me after I've been so vocal about him. So I thought that was shocking.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Harvey, like, let's throw Bergie under the, like, let's throw Dan under the bus. We'll get him out of here.
Oh, yeah. There was probably a lot of moments that you guys watched back that you obviously wouldn't have known being in the show. And yeah, Parvati said, she was like, that might be too obvious. Or she said something along those lines. And Dan went for you.
Yeah, he still went for me. So I thought it was definitely Parvati that murdered me that first time. And I thought she murdered me again the second time. I was like, Parvati was so done with me. But I was one of the first people to mention her name at the round table, which got cut out, like during Janelle's banishment. I'm like, Dan, who's your number two? Who's your number two? Who's your number two? And he goes, my number one is Janelle. I'm like, who else? And he's like, I don't have anybody else. And then he see me throw my hands up, but they edited it in there still, but like they didn't show me questioning who. But anyways, Dan goes, who's your number two? And I go, it's Parvati. Then Parvati and I are going at each other. And then, you know, we're discussing it. And then Dan goes, I'm like, all right, I'll tell you my number three. And Dan's like, who's your number three? And I almost said Phaedra. And I held myself back. That was the same that someone saw her when they shouldn't have. I was like, I almost said Phaedra that day. So I almost said all three traitors at one round table.
Mm.
But it's kind of a cheap shot since somebody saw her when they shouldn't have. But
I mean, Phaedra played an amazing game. You could not, I thought she did really well when she was confronted. She was so good at the round table. And then when the night that she did end up going home, you could tell, I think she was just exhausted. It's got to be completely exhausting being grilled almost 24/7 and the lack of sleep that they, you know, had and everything. It looked like she was just like, all right,
yeah, ready to go home.
You can only defend yourself so long. And the table where she banished Peter, like she had no evidence. She just grilled them like, oh, you're a bachelor. I'm not going to kiss your ass. John, you're a politician, but that had nothing to do with the game. It was just her attacking them. Like she had no evidence game wise why she wasn't a traitor. Mm-hmm. Well, they had evidence why she was a traitor, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that makes sense.
She didn't have evidence on why she wasn't a traitor. And it's like, what can you do? Like, at that point.
Hearing about all the things that they cut out, this is when like part of me wishes that it was almost like a Big Brother where you could just watch the entire thing unedited.
Yes, there's so many things, you know. Oh my gosh. I think when the whole like closing doors started to happen, it was wild in that castle. Like when I survived murder, Sandra stood up and said, Bergie, like she literally got out of her chair and like screamed, Bergie's a traitor when I walked in with the field. And they cut all of that out. I was so excited. Like people were going to see Sandra just grilling me on why I'm a traitor. She's like, Bergie's an idiot. The other traitors told him to murder himself so we'd all fall for it. And I'm that dumb. I was like, I'm not a traitor.
The paranoia in that castle.
And then we go to the bar room and she's still like, Bergie, you're a traitor. I was like, I got the letter. I got the letter. I got the death warrant. I sat in that yellow couch.
How long did they actually give you, well, I guess did Alan actually give you guys to kind of deliberate and talk it over at the round table before he would cut you off?
I think Alan gave us all the time we needed to discuss. Like, he didn't quit until we were quiet. And I can't say how long the round tables went, but it felt like it could be 2 hours. It could
Depends on the drama that day.
Like it could be a half hour, but I can't tell you the actual time we spent at the round table. But
okay.
Yeah.
That amount of time sometimes. Like if we really knew what was going on, 30 minutes. If we really didn't, like the first round table, that one felt like 2 hours. Honestly, what I wish they would do next year is they have an episode. It's the breakfast and the challenge. And then the next episode is the unedited round table. And it could be as long as people
want.
Just like, for 2 hours, let it be a 2 hour episode, maybe let it be a half hour episode depending on the round table.
That would be incredible
time length, you know.
It's the best part. It's the best part of every episode.
So much drama that just gets missed. It's people grilling each other, it's people, and they edit it all out to get the best. Well, and sometimes it's not even the best 10 minutes, I'd argue. It's just for the storyline. And I'm like, I dream of it, like if I could do anything. But obviously they want, you know, a 50-minute episode or hour episode every time. But they do, like, maybe on Monday night you get the breakfast and the challenge. And then you come back Thursday night and you watch the unedited roundtable. Just let people grill each other.
I'd love that.
Oh, my God. Oh, I would people would love eat that it. Up. They're never long enough for me. I like when Alan comes in and stops it. I'm like, no,
don't stop.
You just
it.
Want to hear more.
I know. And like, I'm like, how did you cut down that what felt like a 2 hour round table to 15 minutes? I'm like, how did
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, the editors. And then what was your, I guess, what are your thoughts? So at the very, at the finale, at the last episode, obviously you were close with Trishelle throughout the game. With what her and CT ended up doing towards MJ, because obviously, like, if anyone watched the reunion, MJ was still a bit hurt by it. Then there's the side that's like, these are people, but it's also a game. What was your thoughts about what they decided to do?
So I know Trishelle, and I know her really well, and I know MJ very well, because I got along with both of them. CT, you know, he distanced himself. Like, it, he does the show, and then he's separated, which is fine. Like, you know, he doesn't want to hang around us, which is, he can be his own person, and if that's what he wants to do, that's what he wants to do. So I know Trishelle and MJ very well, and I think Trishelle, from what she's told me, she told MJ, I trust you 100%. I want to finish the game with you. CT, I'm questionable about if it ever comes down to it. So she gave MJ that choice right at the end. And, you know, so they get to the end, and then Alan says it, and then Trishelle's still thinking, why didn't he light my torch? Why didn't he... why did he let me get the shield? And CT was really wishy-washy. He never was like choosing a side. I think he was just playing survival. He didn't really care. You know, he didn't, like, we offered him into the Peter Alliance and then he would just avoid us. Like, he knew that was a death trap. So he's like, I'm not going to try to get the traitors out. I'm going to try to survive until I need to get the traitors out. So he was never playing one side. He was playing to get to the end, which is fine. Like, so CT does that. Trishelle was playing to win. Like, she was like, I'm going to get all the traitors out and get everybody out. So she was ready to banish CT. And then, you know, she wasn't able to get him out the first time. I mean, she really thought maybe he could be a traitor. But then she started thinking, what she's told me is like, you know, I think he just recently went through a divorce. You know, he might actually need the money. And she's like, you know what? Screw it. If you're a traitor, take all the money from me. I don't care at this point. So she, when she wrote MJ's name down, she thought CT still could be a traitor and he was just going to take all the money. She just gave up though. But she was like, and it turned out he was a faithful, but she was like, I'm, you know what, even if I lose, I'm okay with you winning the money instead of anybody else.
Wow. I mean, because it also would have just kept going. They would have the like, you know, tiebreaker would have just kept going. Yeah.
If MJ, you know, she could have voted out CT, but I don't think she wanted to, and whatever happened happened. Like,
yeah,
blame anybody. No. You know, when it began to, I thought about, if I ever made it to the end, I'm banishing everybody else besides one other person, because you increase your odds that way too. But I, everybody knew MJ was a faithful. Like, if it's Peter, MJ, and I probably banished Peter
before. Yeah.
Wow.
Just because, you know, if I made it to the end after he said I got recruited and turned it down, I'd be like, dude, why am I still here? Why are you still here? Like, how did we get here? Kept me alive. Like, that would be my thought process. Even didn't, I would still be thinking, like, Peter, like, you must have accepted that recruitment. Like, if I was standing with the final fire pit, like, you can have no doubt.
I thought Peter might have. Like, I'm watching it, I was like, is he going to? Because Peter was so good at the game. And he was so, like, just good at all aspects of it, really, like, read the room well, knew the players. And I feel like, being like, he seemed like such a game player, I could have seen him jump to the other side.
I think he should have. Like, looking back on it now, like, we felt like we had the advantage, but we were still at such a disadvantage. And I think it would have been way better if he accepted it. We banished Parvati and then he recruited me. I would have loved that.
That would have been great.
Looking back on it now, like, Parvati complains that she didn't have any allies. It's like, damn, I really wish after Dan I went to Parvati and said, hey, recruit me tonight.
Yeah. Changed everything.
Everything.
I really 100% believe Parvati was a traitor, because, like, my evidence, like, I didn't fully believe it until she stepped into the coffin during the funeral. I've said this before, because when I'm playing this game, I'm like, if I was at home right now and I knew it was coming up, I'm like, okay, so they're gonna have to step into a coffin. If I'm at home, I've watched a ton of reality TV, I know there's gonna be one traitor having to fake it, and it was MJ, Ekansu, Parvati. And I was already thinking Ekansu. And then when Ekansu died, I was like, oh, it's got to be Parvati, MJ. And I think Peter had the same thought process. And he was like, it's MJ. I was like, no, bro, it's Parvati. Let's think this out. Because they voting for MJ that night. I was like, Peter, really think about this. Look at MJ. Think about Parvi's background. She won Survivor. Like, she's won Survivor. Like, who do you really think is the traitor? And that's when the shield plan came into play. Like, it was the same day. And then he told Parvati, like, hey, I have the shield.
Wow. Oh, crazy. So smart.
I was the one that convinced Peter Parvati was a traitor. So that was awesome.
You're the hero. Yeah. You're the hero of the traitors.
But Peter executed the plan. Maybe he shouldn't have told Parvati and Dan because Parvati was on to him. But...
What was your life like then whenever you get back from the traders? Because you do Love Island. You said you had 2 weeks and then finally back to normal. What was it like being done with reality TV for a while?
Oh my gosh. So I'm trying to remember. So after that, I flew to Dallas to visit my girlfriend because I haven't seen her now in like a month because mm-hmm. I went to Scotland. I got that one call a week where you could talk to a family member for 10 minutes. But sometimes they would let it slide to like 30, which was really nice of them. But as long as we weren't talking about the traitors, like you weren't allowed to like, you know, like, oh, Dan's here. And then, you know, she could look up Dan and say, oh, he's won Big Brother twice. Like, you know that information sense. Already. They didn't want to call a family member and find out like all the dirt on somebody. But I go to Dallas, enjoy that. And then, you know, I'm not someone that goes out every night. So like, I didn't feel like my life changed that much. Like obviously social media changed a little bit, but then, you know, I kind of distanced myself because if you read hate comments, you know, it's always going to be there. Mm-hmm. So that was my big thing. Like 100 people that liked me, I would have one hate comment and that hate comment would bother me, or I'd have a whole Reddit thread that just hated me. It's like, why is this dude on Love Island or whatever? Ugh. And you read it and you're like, I feel terrible about myself. And it's just like, okay, if I don't look at it, it's not there. And then I reapplied to physical therapy school. So that got my mind off of things and it just brought me back to like normal life. Mm-hmm. Got into physical therapy school again. I'm accepted into the University of Mary for this fall in North Dakota. And I've also applied to the University of Minnesota and I'm on their alternate list. Cause I applied so late too. Cause I applied, you know, it was probably like November by the time I got my application in. So, that was kind of like next for me. And then I was like, okay, now I need to get a job. And then I got a job. I'm working as a personal trainer, childcare too. So like, that's what I'm doing right now. But so I just kind of went back to normal life. I didn't try to like do anything too crazy. Like I got on Cameo, do social media posts, but I definitely want to do a little bit more on social media. Like I want to do more TikTok videos and more YouTube videos. Like I haven't started a YouTube yet, but I just got all the equipment.
That's exciting.
Like I want to, yeah. So maybe like not start a podcast, but like vlog. Like this is my life right now, day in the life. Cause like, I don't have the time to like schedule podcasts and I think there's already enough podcasts out there. So I'm already guest starring in enough. So it's like, you know, I don't have to do my own, but I'd like to just do vlogs and just like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I think about this.
Oh yeah. I feel like people would love that.
So I just put an Instagram poll today on like, would you rather have me do YouTube videos or TikTok? And it's like split 50-50 right now. And then I posted some videos with people and everybody wants a life to update. So I think that's what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
Probably this week I'll upload it.
Oh, nice.
YouTube also has those like shorts now. Don't they have like, yeah. So it's kind of, mm-hmm. You could blend them a little bit if you wanted as well, instead mm-hmm. of like a long video, which would also be great.
Yeah. So I think what I'm going to do is I'll do like a short version on TikTok, like maybe like a minute one. And I'll be like, if you want like the 20 minute version, go to my YouTube channel. I'll do a 20 minute video on my life update.
Oh yeah. That'd be great.
Oh my God. You totally should. Cause yeah. Like, as you can see, we're even still like, it is always, you watch a show and you're like, where'd that person go? Like, yeah. What happened? What are they up to now?
Yeah. And like, that's the thing too. Like, I try to stay realistic about everything that's going to happen too. Like, obviously I'm like, my wave is starting to come down unless I do another show. Like it's going to crash sooner than later. Like once Love Island season 6 comes out, it's like, who's Bergie? Like I care about the Islanders of this season. Like obviously there's going to be fans that still love season 5 or like Bergie in general, but there's a lot of Love Island fans that are going to move on. And it's like The Bachelor. Who was on Bachelor on season 2?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just what happens. So I'd love to do more TV, of course. Like, I'd love to do like Survivor, Brother, Deal or No Deal Island, but who knows what my future holds.
We would love to see you on any of those.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier that you were a reality TV fan. What were some of your favorite reality shows before you were on reality TV?
Well, obviously, like, Survivor here and there. Like, I never watched, like, a season completely through before season 45. I've been getting into it. I've been watching Sandra's season, Big Brother, liking that. I never watched Big Brother before, but what other reality TV shows did I really like before? Like, obviously I love Love Island, The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. I think the last season I watched was Colton's season. And then I watched Hannah Brown's season of The Bachelorette, which Peter was on, but I didn't watch his season. I was like, you know what? I'm kind of done with The Bachelor now. And it was Peter's seasons, of course. So I was like, man, I really wish I'd have been really cool. I've been like, dude, I saw your whole season. But I'm on Hannah Brown's. I'm trying to think what other reality TV did I watch. Obviously, like Too Hot to Handle. Mm-hmm. All the any Netflix reality TV series, I've probably seen it.
They're so good. They're so easy to watch.
Well, and sometimes they're like so trashy, and it's just like, you know what? I can be on my phone, or I can.
It's a good scrolling
video
show.
Games. Sometimes I love that kind of reality TV where I can just put it on the background, like, and just still know what's going on, but I don't have to like actively engage.
Oh, totally.
And then we don't want to take up too much of your time, but do you have like a favorite memory or a favorite challenge or a favorite moment from being on the Traders?
Obviously the graveyard challenge is going to be like my favorite challenge. I also love the bird challenge. Just like, we got a map and I was like, I know how to read a map. And the castle grounds that we got to run across were beautiful. Like, you didn't get to see like the buildings we ran across. Like, there was old buildings all around the castle grounds. So I love the bird challenge. But one of my favorites, obviously, I was the last in tied on the first challenge, if you remember that. Obviously, they made that a big deal.
Yeah.
But I get untied, and I just remember I look to the water. I see like three people in rowboats rowing out to different puzzle pieces. I see drones flying. I see like a speedboat with a camera just like this. I'm going, what am I doing right now? This is incredible. like the scene and having all the cameramen, I felt like I was on the Lord of the Rings, or, you know, I was just like, this is insane. Like, my adrenaline was growing. I'm running to a rowboat and I'm just like, Sandra was there, Bergie, we gotta go. And I pushed Sandra, we're just rowing on our boat, and then I start swimming, and then I have a drone come down to like my swim level, and I'm just like, it makes me go that much faster. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're getting a close-up of me swimming. They never but like adrenaline rush, having a drone right in your face as you're like just swimming. I'm like, this is crazy and insane. So that first challenge has like a special place in my heart. I think that's probably my favorite one, just because when I got out and I saw the production and everything else, I was just like, holy crap, this is amazing.
They looked amazing. The challenges look so cool.
Yeah.
Like, what an awesome thing.
One of my other favorite moments was definitely the round table where Janelle got banished. Obviously, I didn't like the outcome, but I loved, you know, I finally came out of my shell. I was calling out Dan. I was calling out Harvey. Almost called out Phaedra. Like, it was like round table. And like the first like two round tables, I was scared. Like, I was like this, like hiding behind my hand. I was like, nobody say my name. Nobody say my name for any reason. Like, all I was thinking the whole time, nobody say my name. And then to do the opposite was like really cool and really fun. Like, once you had evidence to like come out and say you're a traitor, it was awesome.
Oh, that had to be so satisfying.
So satisfying. Because I feel like just opening your mouth at the round table, it's like, you better have something good to say, or else they're all going to think that you're a traitor just for talking, just for speaking at all.
And like, I saw what happened to Max. Like, Max was like all good. And then all of a sudden, Sandra goes, Max, you're a traitor. And I'm just like, oh, don't say mine.
Stay away. Okay, and then our final question. So like we mentioned, our podcast is all about things that make us nostalgia, TV shows, movies. So we would love to hear what some of your favorite shows or movies that you enjoyed growing up.
So this one's like a newer one, but it's still old school. So I always think of like Star Wars Rogue One was like a perfect nostalgia hit, like, because it has like that old Star Wars feel, but like also new. So I really like Atlantis, The Lost Empire, that Disney
so
movie.
So good.
It's it ringing. I'm like, if they ever want to do a live action, I'm like, I better be Milo. Like, if I'm not Milo, I'm going to be mad. But like that movie gets me going. What about you guys? You guys normally say
TV shows. I feel like, you know, we watched Friends,
Boy Meets
like
World.
Gilmore Girls, Boy Meets World. We love a lot of like Disney, Nickelodeon stuff.
We're also awful at picking any favorites. Anytime someone asks us, we have to list like 10 things because we can't pick just one or two.
Oh, yeah.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay. favorite movie, probably, our nostalgic movie would be Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire. That
it's such a good one.
That is a really good one.
Like, I feel like that's one of the best, like, Peter Parker movies. Like, there's obviously better Spider-Man movies, but, like, that's the best, like, Peter Parker, because he's battling with, like, I battled that with in college, like, being a college athlete and then also working a job. It's like, I'm living two different lives and I'm trying to do everything. And, like, I think that's what that movie nailed. It's like, I can't be Spider-Man and Peter Parker. And he was struggling with that. So I really like that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I loved it. And then as an adult, I appreciate it for different reasons. So, like, that movie, and I'm trying to think of a TV show.
I love that. I love that you took that away from it as well. That's great.
I'm trying to think of a TV show now. Okay. What TV shows? Like, obviously Scooby-Doo, but, like, I don't
watch
Love Scooby-Doo.
Like, what networks did you watch? Did you watch, like, Nick?
Like, Nickelodeon, Cartoon
Like, SpongeBob,
Network.
Those kinds of things? Were SpongeBob, you a cartoon?
Yeah, but, like, I don't watch SpongeBob anymore. I don't watch...
Oh, no. Yeah. It's still on, though. You know, it's crazy. It's They're still making new episodes of SpongeBob.
At my work, we sell, like, SpongeBob popsicles, and people, like, the kids are just obsessed. And I'm, like...
Obsessed.
SpongeBob. And I'm, like... Okay, I can't think of a TV show. I'm like,
that's
really
totally
trying.
Fine.
No, it's totally fine.
Well, thank you so much again for taking your time and chatting with us. We loved everything about this.
Oh my God, yes. Thank you for answering our millions of questions.
Well, if you ever need another podcast, a couple of us, let me know. I'm always down to do them.
Oh, oh my God, thank you. Thank you. We probably will reach out.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I don't we'll look out for your YouTube and TikTok, whichever one.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. Thanks for having me. You guys have a great day.
Thanks.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. We were talking with Bergie about his, like, favorite movies, everything. Have you noticed that, like, AMC bringing back everything? They've had Shrek 2 in theaters, and it's been, like, selling out. I looked at the Universal AMC the other day, and, like, every screening of Shrek 2 was sold out.
Wait, can I ask why Shrek 2 and not Shrek? Isn't that random?
It's because it's the 20th anniversary of Shrek 2.
Makes total sense now. I Shrek 2 all the way.
And also, they also just brought Spider-Man 2 back.
Oh, it's just the twos.
The twos.
It's because of
the
Taylor's
twos,
album.
Taylor, the Tortured Poets Department of Shrek and Spider-Man.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Taylor has something to do with
Taylor's
it.
Taylor's influence.
Oh my God. That's freaky. You tell me, as a Swiftie, I think that that's it. No, but I love that they're doing that. To be honest, I don't know that I saw a lot of these movies in theaters when they came out.
You didn't see Shrek 2 in a theater?
I don't remember. There's so many Shreks, I can't tell them apart.
Are you telling me? You've only seen Shrek 2 on a small screen?
Are you telling me we've been friends this many years and you never told me you haven't seen Shrek 2 on the big screen?
Did you not bring that up day one?
Guys, my intro to you. Hey, my name's Grace. I have not seen Shrek 2 on the big screen.
I'm dying at the thought of you walking up and just doing a, hi, I'm Grace. Some fun facts about me.
Hey, that's not a bad idea to have prepared for when you meet someone.
I have seen Shrek 2 on the big screen.
Have you?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I saw. Well, I guess I'm trying to think. Back in the day when movies came out, there was not streaming. So they always came out in theaters.
Always.
So I have to imagine I did.
Probably. It seems like something you would have done.
Where else would I have watched it?
Would you wait for the VHS, the DVD?
Oh my God, what are you, crazy? What are you, nuts?
The months!
My cousins and I lived at the movie theater, so I'm sure I did.
Same.
Yeah, but I love that they're doing that.
And it's, if you don't have A-List, $5. That's why it's selling out.
$5 to see it.
And the one that they're doing now I saw is also The Matrix, which I've never actually seen that entire movie.
I've seen it, but like a long time ago. I just obviously remember the scene when he does that like back bend, that thing. And it's
so
like,
far. Whoosh, it's like, oh my goodness.
Bends over so far.
Bend it like Beckham.
Oh my God. It's like Cirque du Soleil. Oh. Cirque du Soleil.
Can we talk about the Spice Girls? I just said Beckham and it reminded me of the Spice Girls' little reunion.
Oh, also happy birthday, Victoria. Oh my God. Vicky.
Vicky.
Posh.
Hey, Vicky, you're so icky. Just the thought of being around you makes me so sicky.
Except not. We love Victoria
Beckham.
No, we love
Posh.
Love Posh. Happy birthday.
Hello.
Happy birthday,
Posh. That was probably
Posh.
Really loud for the listeners.
Really
it's
loud.
It's fine.
It's just we love her.
How did we get here? Bennett like Beckham, Spice Girls. Mm-hmm. They had a reunion at someone's birthday.
At Posh's birthday.
Of course.
And David Beckham, her husband, obviously, recorded a little clip of all the Spice Girls together singing.
Stop right now. Thank you very much. I need somebody with a human touch. God, and they were all there.
All of them. I mean, do you think...
Where are you going with it?
When people see you and me together out on the street, is that the same feeling as if we saw the Spice Girls together?
My gut's saying no, but like... Just because we're not international, that's why. That's why. It's we the might only reason be. Why. You're
I'm gonna
right.
Look at, I'm going to look at our thing now.
See. You're right. Who is listening abroad, across the pond?
We're about to find out.
Okay.
Which is fitting because the show we talked about takes place in Scotland.
Gorgeous setting.
Okay. The United States is our biggest location, followed by Canada, then the UK.
Cheers.
Then Australia. And then Singapore.
Oh my God, what a jump. You know what? We are international. I take it back. So then the answer is yes. People would react the same way to us as the Spice Girls.
Look at all these people who have listened to us in different countries.
God bless. If you're listening to us right now in a different country, can you go on our website, www.bddbpodcast.com, and leave us a message and let us know? Because that's so fun.
That is really. I mean, remember that one time we were on Instagram Live and there's someone in Germany?
Yes.
Who we were, it really was just like a FaceTime call with them, because then we just got so into the fact that there was someone from Germany who was listening to us.
Oh, that's just so cool. Thank you for listening if you are.
Yeah, thank you.
But.
You know how what else is cool?
Yeah, I was going to say, how the hell do we get out of here?
Bergie's cool.
Bergie is so cool. Oh my gosh. If you're a fan of The Traitors, you had to have loved this episode, because David and I, this was one of those episodes where we did not look at our prepared notes very much.
We always do our research.
We always do our research. And we didn't need to reference anything, didn't need to jog our memory with looking at the notes. We just had these questions as from being fans of the show.
And again, if you made it this far, I'm guessing you enjoyed The Traitors, because sorry, this one wasn't nostalgic, but like we always sneak in.
Oh, yeah. We've had some like Big Brother people in. We love ourselves a reality show. And
maybe there should be a Back to the Best spinoff. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, maybe.
In the meantime, though, you can find Bergie on Instagram. His handle is Bergalicious35.
Should have asked him what the 35 stands for.
Maybe like his football
lucky number.
Oh,
he was in football. You're right.
And you can go on there. There's links to his Cameo if you want a video. His TikTok. Cruise of Deception. What is this?
Oh my God.
Everybody hold your horses.
Hold your phones.
What is the Cruise of Deception? And do we need to be on it? The ultimate mystery contest cruise featuring your stars from your favorite reality shows. Book, play, and win. 50,000 grand prize.
Okay, well, David and I are going to go on a cruise.
From Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, we love it there.
Wait, you like choose whose team you're on. So like choose your team. When you book your cruise, you'll have the opportunity to choose a team. Pick your favorite cast member from the choices below and you'll be on their team for their entire cruise. Don't wait too long, though, because once a team fills up, you'll lose your chance to join. So you can join Rachel Riley. Janelle is sold out.
Good for her.
Stephanie, Bergie, Sandra, Trishelle. It's all of them. Peter.
Oh, my God. Do we need to do this?
It sounds so fun.
So fun.
Okay. A private island.
Oh, my God. This is happening in real time, everyone. We are just seeing this.
Anyway, go follow Bergie on Instagram. All of this info is there.
Yes.
And then we always love a jump on over to us.
Oh yeah, us. Please
follow us everywhere. We are on Instagram and Twitter at BTTB Podcast, TikTok and Facebook at Back to the Best, youtube.com/backtothebest, and our one-stop shop, BTTBpodcast.com.
Go on over, give us a little review, send us a message. We love to hear from you. And Bergie, if you're still listening, thank you so much
thank
for coming
so
on.
Thank you so much. Thank you
we
for
had
coming
so
on.
Much fun talking to you about the show that we probably won't ever audition to go on because
we couldn't handle it.
We could not handle
there
it.
There's an episode where you have to get a chalice and get someone to drink
from
the
forget
chalice.
It. Forget it. Forget it.
Them realizing that it's going to like get them kicked out.
I'm sweating already.
I was so stressed.
Oh, so and I wasn't stressed. Even playing. No, not even playing. But anyway, Bergie, good for you. Good for you for doing it, because we don't know if we could.
Thank you so much to everybody for listening. And I guess we'll see you here next week.
Yeah, we sure will. But we're never going anywhere. We'll be here next week.
Where we are going to keep taking you
back to the best. Bye. Really quick, if you were on the show, would you want to be a faithful or a traitor?
Faithful. I could never be a traitor.
Faithful. It sounds fun being a traitor,
but I could not.
Nope. Not for us. Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.